Good morning. On this Sunday before Thanksgiving, let's begin our service by singing together, Give Thanks. It's number 373 in your hymnal, and it's also printed in your order of worship. Let's stand. Seated. The Lord be with you. And welcome as we gather to worship as Murfreesboro Baptist Church here in this beautiful place. We're grateful that you're here and a part of our worship today and pray it'll be a blessing to you. And we're delighted to have guests among us today. Thank you for being here and worshiping with us. If you're in our community and you're looking for a church home, we'd love for you to fill out one of the visitor's cards and put that in the offering plate when it's passed, and that way we'll know how to get in touch with if you'd like for us to. And also, we welcome those joining us by our radio broadcast and our live stream. We're grateful you're worshiping with us today and pray it will be a blessing to you. And we invite you to come and worship with us in person anytime here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church. Let me mention several things very quickly. At the end of our service today, we'll have a brief church conference for the final results of our fiscal year 2022-23. And then you see the information about the angel tree. Please take note of that. Also, remember we're hosting the Food Bank of the Albemarle on Tuesday the 21st. If you'd like to help that day, please be here by 1:30. This Tuesday, we will also have our community Thanksgiving service, and that will be held at Nebo Baptist Church at 6:30, and I'll be preaching for that service, and I hope that we'll have a good representation from our church there that evening. Now, next Sunday is Christ the King Sunday, and we'll be observing communion that day, so please keep that in mind and prepare your hearts for communion. And then on November 26th from 2 to 5, we'll be doing the hanging of the greens as we decorate our sanctuary and grounds for Advent and Christmas. Now, there are other items as well. Please take note of those. And also remember that the church office will be closed Thursday and Friday because of the Thanksgiving holiday. We do welcome you. We are so glad that you are here. And I invite you now to join with me and a responsive reading for our call to worship that comes from Psalm 90. It's printed in our order of service. If you'll join in on the bold print. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn us back to dust and say, "Turn back, you mortals." For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night. The days of our life are 70 years, or perhaps 80 if we're strong. Even then their span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. So teach us to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart. Indeed, Lord, as we come before you in worship, we do pray for wise hearts. Wise hearts that know how to live as you would have us to live as disciples of Jesus. Wise hearts that seek to be good stewards of all that you entrust to us. Wise hearts, Lord, that seek to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others so that they too may know you. And Father, as we worship you together now, we pray that you would make your presence known among us in a powerful way through your Spirit. We know that you're with us, for your word tells us that where two or three are gathered in the name of Christ, that he is among us. And so, Lord, we know you're present, but we pray that you would make us specially aware of your presence today, that you would move among us, that you would have your will and your way, that you would be honored and glorified, and that your church would be built up and strengthened for your kingdom work. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus our Lord. And all God's people said, Amen. Our hymn of praise is number 372, Come Ye Thankful People Come. 372. Hi, guys. Good to see you this morning. Good. How's everything going? School's good? No? Ready for the Thanksgiving break? Yes.
I bet so. I bet so.
All right. Well, got something with me this morning. What's that? $20 bill. Jackson, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, you know, what if I handed this to one of you? It would? Now, what if I handed it to you and I said, okay, now I'm going to entrust this to you and I want you to take it and use it to do something good, and I want you to do something with it that you think that I would do or that I would be pleased with. And then later on, I want you to come back and tell me about it. What would you do with it?
Give food to people who don't have food.
Oh, that's good. That's good. You don't know, Jeffrey? Okay. All right. Well, in my sermon this morning, we're going to be thinking about a parable that Jesus told about a man who entrusted a lot of money to his servants. And he expected them to use it the way that would be pleasing to him. And Jesus told about this parable, and he told about what happened when he returned from a trip that he went on, about the man that gave the money. And we're going to listen about that and see what happened. But what I want you to learn from that, and what I hope you'll get from our time together this morning, is that God entrusts us with everything we have. Now think about that. He entrusts us with our life. The reason we're here is because God gave us life. And he entrusts us with our life and expects us to use it the way he wants us to. He entrusts us with the natural talents that he gives us, the things that we're good at doing. He entrusts us with spiritual gifts that he gives us to use in the work of the church and his kingdom. He entrusts us with the money that he gives us, that we earn sometimes, or that we receive as a gift. He entrusts it to us. And he wants us to use it all in the way that will be pleasing to him. And so what I want you to remember today is that whatever we have, God entrusts to us, and we have to use it the way that he wants us to use it. Okay? All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jackson and for Jeffrey, and I pray your blessings on them. Father, I pray that as they grow in your grace and as they learn more about your kingdom, that you will work in their lives in a very special way, and that you'll help all of us, Lord, always to use everything that you've entrusted to us for you and for your kingdom and for your glory. Help us, Father, to do that well. As disciples of Jesus, we pray these things in his name. Amen. All right, thank you guys. Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of Judges, chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Judges, chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. The Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. So the Lord sold them into the hand of King Jabin of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron and had oppressed the Israelites cruelly 20 years. At that time, Deborah, a prophetess, wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, son of Abinoam from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go, take position at Mount Tabor, bringing 10,000 from the tribe of Naphtali and the tribe of Zebulun. I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the Wadi Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand." Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." And she said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah got up and went with Barak to Kadesh. Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, when 10,000 warriors went up behind him, and Deborah went up with him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we come now to our prayer time this morning, we have some requests. Faye Phipps Jenkins is now home in Milwaukee, North Carolina from Wake Med, but continue to pray for her as she's recovering. Kentley Porter in Suffolk, a friend of Bob and Lisa Turner, he has cancer that has returned. And then also Charlie Wilton in Winterville. Joe Minton's good friend, Charlie, has liver cancer and is not doing well, and we want to remember him in our prayers. And I'm sure there are many others that you would remember today. So let's lift all of them up to the Lord as we offer our prayer to him. I'll offer our prayer, and then we'll close by praying the Lord's Prayer together. So let's pray. Oh God, how grateful we are for the blessings that you pour out on us in Jesus Christ. Gifts that you give to us, a stewardship that you entrust to us. You're so good to us, Lord. You bless us in so many ways. Father, we think back of how you worked from eternity in order to accomplish your plan of redemption in Christ. How you promised him all along to your people in Old Testament times. And how when the fullness of time had come, you sent forth your son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. And how you have included us Gentiles in your people as we trust in Jesus Christ as the Messiah and Lord. We're grateful, Father, and we thank you. We thank you for the material blessings that you pour out on us as well. Father, during this season of Thanksgiving, we especially remember these things, though we should be grateful for them all year long. But Lord, we pray that during this season of Thanksgiving, as we take time, that you would make us especially mindful of all the blessings you've lavished on us, and we thank you for them. But Lord, we also come realizing that there are many needs, these that we have already mentioned, Father, because of illness. We pray for them and ask your help for them. We pray, Lord, that where it is your will, you will bring healing, that where you choose to work in other ways, that you will grant endurance and grace, and in each situation, you will work to accomplish your purpose in that person who is suffering and in those around that person, Lord. And Father, that your name would be honored and glorified, and that your gospel would go forth in power. Father, we pray for those who are grieving, those who have lost loved ones in recent months, and Father, some who continue to grieve for years. We ask that you will comfort and strengthen them, that you'll help them to work through their grief in healthy ways, to be strengthened, to be able to live life that you have given to them. Lord, we pray for other needs as well. We think about those who struggle financially, those, Lord, who may not know where their next meal's coming from. Lord, for those who, for whatever reason, find themselves in difficult situations, we know, Lord, that many times people are suffering because of bad choices that they've made. and we ask that you would extend grace and help to them. Lord, we pray for our country. We thank you that you've blessed us to live in a land of freedom. Lord, we look around us and we see how so often that freedom is abused. And Lord, we see the results that come from that. And we ask, Father, that you would send a time of spiritual renewal in your church throughout the land, and that you'll send a time of spiritual awakening in our land, that people might come to know you, and trust you, and serve you. Father, there are other things that we think of. We think about the wars that are going on in our world, in Ukraine and Israel and in places in Africa and other parts of the world where there's unrest and where there's war. Father, we ask that you would intervene, and Lord, that things would be able to come to peaceful terms. Lord, that you would especially watch over innocent civilians, for there are so many who are suffering, and we ask your help for them. Lord, we pray that in all things your will would be done. And Father, we pray for the leaders of our land. We ask, Lord, for your guidance for our leaders at all levels as they make decisions, and that you'd help them always to act with integrity and to do what is right and to do what is best. Lord, we lift to you those who don't know you, for there are so many around us, Father, who never put their trust in you. Some, Lord, throughout our world who have never really heard of you. We pray that you'd help us to be faithful witnesses as a congregation and as disciples of Jesus. Lord, that you will open opportunities for us to share the good news. And Father, that you'll help us to be faithful in making the most of those opportunities. Lord, we thank you for the ministries that our church is able to carry on, especially ministering to those who are hungry and those who have other needs. Father, we know that there is also the need of proclaiming your good news to them, of witnessing that good news to them, and we pray you'll help us to be faithful in doing it. You're so good to us, Lord, and we're so grateful. So we gather our prayers now, lifting them in the name of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord, who together with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns as one God forever and ever. And we gather these prayers now, Father, lifting them together in the words of that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us, praying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of thanksgiving is number 61, We Gather Together. Please stand as you're able. 1 Chronicles 29, as David presented his and the leaders and the people's offerings for the building of the temple, he blessed the Lord, saying these words, "Yours, O Lord, are the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and it is in your hand to make great and to give strength to all. And now, our God, we give thanks to you and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to make this freewill offering? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. O Lord, our God, all this abundance comes from your hand and is all your own." And so now let us present our tithes and offerings to the Lord in that same spirit and with that same attitude. Indeed, Lord, all things are thine. No gift have we, Lord of all gifts, to offer thee. And hence, with grateful hearts today, thine own before thy feet we lay. Amen. Our New Testament lesson this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Paul writes, "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, as indeed you are doing. The word of the Lord, praise His holy name.
Breath that I am able, oh, I will sing.
Thank you, choir. Our text this morning comes from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. As Jesus is teaching, he says these words, "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You've been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master replied, 'You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. And as for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Father, as we look into your word now, speak to our hearts, giving us open minds and helping us to receive what you would say to us and to be obedient in all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think most of us have probably heard of trust funds. That's a growing segment of banking in the financial industry today, putting things in trust. You know how it works. A person sets aside money in a special fund to benefit an individual or an institution. This kind of arrangement is referred to as a trust. The money is held in trust by the bank or the firm that handles it, and then the proceeds off of it go to help the person or the institution that it was designated for. The owner entrusts the funds to them as trustees of the fund. Well, we might think that that's a relatively recent thing, but it's actually an ancient practice, this idea of entrusting. The ancient word would be stewardship. Our text today is about this very thing, because here Jesus told a parable about a master who entrusted his property to his slaves and what they did with it. Now, there's a little problem with this parable, and the problem is not with the parable itself. The problem is with our perception, because often when we hear the word talent or talents, where does our mind go? The natural abilities that we have, right? But actually, when it uses the word talent here, it's talking about money. And lots of it. A whole lot of it. In fact, we do get our current English use of the word from this parable, but Jesus is talking about money here. And in the ancient world, a talent could be either a weight measurement or it could be a denomination of money. And by some scholars' estimates, a talent was worth more than 15 to 20 years wages of a regular worker. So we're talking about a lot of money here. A huge amount of money in this story. The man in this parable is the property owner. He's the master of several slaves. Slavery was, of course, a very common practice in the ancient Greco-Roman world. And as the man's getting ready to go on an extended journey, he calls three of his slaves and he entrusts them with his property according to their abilities. To the first one, he entrusts 5 talents. When you do the math, that's 75 to 100 years worth of wages. To the second one, he entrusts 2 talents. That's 30 to 40 years' wages, still a tremendous amount. And to the third one, who he doesn't think has quite the abilities that the other two have, he still thinks he can trust him with 1 talent, and that's more than 15 to 20 years of wages, still a lot of money. And then he goes on his journey. Well, 2 of these slaves were industrious, and they set about putting that money to work. And lo and behold, by the time he came back, they had both gotten a 100% return. They had doubled it. The one who had made, who had been given 5 talents had made it into 10. The one who had been given 2 had made it into 4. But, well, the other one, not quite the same story. Apparently, he was afraid of his master. And he was afraid of what might happen if he lost the money. And so instead of using it or even putting it in the bank so it could earn interest, he went out, dug a hole, and buried it to hide it. Well, eventually, the master returns, and as we'd expect, he calls his slaves to settle his account. And the slave with the 5 talents comes to him and says, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I've made 5 more talents. And the master says, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You've been trustworthy over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." And he commends the slave, entrusts more to him, and invites him to share his joy over this job well done. And the second slave comes and says, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I've made 2 more. And the master says the exact same words that he said to the one with 5. "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You've been trustworthy in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things." And he invites him to come and share in his joy. And then the one he had entrusted with 1 talent comes. And he says, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you haven't sowed, gathering where you haven't scattered. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what's yours." The master wasn't just disappointed. He was incensed. He called him a lazy and wicked slave, and condemned him by his own words. And the slave had tried to shift his blame to the master. He tried to justify his actions because he was afraid of what the master might do. And the master tells him he should have at least put his money in the bank so it could have earned interest. And then the master tells the other slaves to take that talent from him and give it to the one who had 10, but to take him and cast him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, what's the point of this parable? Well, doesn't Jesus put it into the mouth of the master in the story? "You have been trustworthy over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. For to all who have, more will be given. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away." Isn't it all about the faithful use of what God entrusts to us, His servants, actually His slaves? Now, we don't really like to think of ourselves that way, do we, as slaves? But what else do you call someone who's been bought with a price, as Paul put it in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20? And throughout his letters, Paul uses this image for believers, this picture that Christ has redeemed us out of our slavery to sin so that we now belong to Him and we are His slaves. And yet it's in being His slaves that we experience true freedom. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God. And likewise, whatever we have in the way of talents, gifts, abilities, possessions, money, whatever, it doesn't belong to us. It has been entrusted to us. Entrusted to us. And it's been entrusted to us to be used for our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we put this parable in the context of how Matthew has arranged it here in his account of the gospel, it sheds even more light on the meaning. In chapter 24, Jesus had been talking about His return and the end of the age, making the point that no one knows when He will return. So His disciples must always be ready. And then He tells four stories, four parables to make His point. The first is the parable of the slave who is left in charge of the other slaves while the master is gone. And if the slave is faithful, the master will put him in charge of everything. If he's not, he'll be punished. The second story is about the 10 bridesmaids who are waiting for the arrival of the bridegroom. 5 are wise, 5 are foolish. The ones who are wise have brought extra oil for their lamps in case the bridegroom is delayed. The other 5, well, they didn't bring any extra oil. The bridegroom is delayed, their oil runs out. They ask the wise ones for their oil. They say, no, because if we give it to you, then we won't have extra oil. And so when the bridegroom comes, they've had to go buy more oil and they miss out and they don't get to go into the wedding banquet. The third story is the one in our text, the parable of the talents. And then the fourth is the parable of the sheep and the goats, a description of the judgment at the last day when the nations will be separated from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Now all four stories had to do with the themes of being prepared for Christ's return and the reckoning that will come at the judgment. The first two stories focus more on being alert and ready for Christ's return. And then the last two stories focus more on the reckoning at the final judgment. And this story that we're looking at this morning focuses on how we use what God entrusts to us in the here and now, reminding us that we will render an account in the by and by. Now, isn't Jesus saying to us here that as we await His return, God expects us to be faithful stewards of everything He entrusts to us? We hold in trust our lives and everything we have, and God expects us to employ it all for His purposes and His glory and the purposes of His kingdom. Now, we don't know when Jesus will return. That's His business. Some people seem to think they've got it all figured out, but they don't. They don't. I remember back in the late 1980s getting a book in the mail that was about 88 reasons that Jesus had to return in 1988. And then I got another book from that same author in 1989 telling me 89 reasons why he had missed it. Well, maybe it wasn't exactly that, but something like that. It's been a long time. Well, nobody knows, but He is going to come. And we need to be ready. We need to be ready. Now, we must live in anticipation of His return in faithfulness and readiness. And in the meantime, God entrusts us with life itself, with relationships, with spiritual gifts, with natural talents and abilities, with possessions, with other things as well. So what kind of stewards does He expect us to be as we live under His kingdom rule, waiting for Christ to return? Trustworthy stewards of whatever He entrusts us with. Because the one who's faithful with a little is just as faithful as the one who's faithful with much. And we're to be watchful stewards, living in light of His promised return. He expects us to be faithful with our lives as we watch. We have to commit our lives to Him and then live for His glory, giving ourselves up for His kingdom purposes in anticipation of His coming and final accounting. It's not about our happiness. It's about His kingdom. About His kingdom. He expects us to be faithful in our relationships. We must live in love, and by our relationships, help people know God and grow in their relationship with Him. He expects us to use our spiritual gifts faithfully, employing them for the common good of the body in Christ's service through the church. And likewise, He expects us to be good stewards of our natural talents and abilities, using them for God's glory. And He also expects us to make faithful use of our time, living every moment for Him, making the most of every moment as He brings every opportunity that He brings our way. And yes, He expects us to be faithful stewards of our possessions, including our money. Abraham and Jacob gave a tithe, a tenth of their possessions. The law instituted the tithe as a requirement for the support of the temple, the priesthood, and ministry to the needy. The tithe isn't nullified in the New Testament. But what's encouraged goes beyond tithing to generosity. Generosity. Cheerful, sacrificial, systematic, proportionate giving to the Lord. It's interesting when Paul says that the Lord loves a cheerful giver, the word that's used in the Greek is the word that we get our English word hilarious from. God loves a hilarious giver, one that just loves to give and gets a kick out of it. Generosity. Generosity. In this matter of financial stewardship, God isn't just interested in our tithes and offerings, though that's an essential starting point. He's concerned with how we use all of our possession. He's interested in the other 90% as well. And He'll hold us accountable as His stewards entrusted with His property. Now, when you think about it, doesn't failure to be trustworthy stewards of what God entrusts to us signal a serious deficiency in our relationship with God? Think about that for a minute. That wicked, lazy servant, why did he go and hide the money? He was afraid. An irrational fear. He didn't trust the master. When we truly trust in God, we want to please Him. We want to use everything the way He would have us to use it. It's a simple story here, but it teaches us a powerful truth. As we await Christ's return, God expects us to be faithful stewards of everything that He entrusts to us. And when we are, we're opening ourselves for Him to work His purpose in us and through us, and we recognize and acknowledge that everything we have comes from Him. He's entrusted it to us. We're His stewards, and He expects us to use it all for Him. The question is, will we? Indeed, Lord, all that we have, our life, our gifts, our talents, our abilities, our possessions, all we have comes from you. Help us to use it faithfully for your glory, first giving ourselves to you completely. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of response this morning is number 371, Now Thank We All Our God. And perhaps God is speaking to you this morning about your relationship with Him, and maybe about how you are using all that He has entrusted to you. If there's a commitment you need to come and share this morning, we invite you to do that. If you've never followed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the first thing He wants from you is your life, your heart. He wants you to trust in Him and yield yourself to Him. Would you do that this morning as we stand and sing number 371?
Bless us and help us now, Father, as we follow you as disciples of Jesus, becoming